Well, we want to thank the Lord being able to be here again with the saints. I think of this Guthrie meeting as being kind of kicking off the meetings of the summer. I know there have been other meetings already go on, but to me this is kind of one of the hallmarks of we begin the summer meetings. And I want to encourage all of us to look toward the Lord this whole summer long. Open up our hearts and say, Lord, what can I have this summer? I want something from you. And then ask the Lord after we say that, say, Lord, what can I do for you this summer? We need the Lord to inspire our hearts and then ask us to be inspired for His service. I think of where we are today. We look around and we know that the world has never needed the Lord more than what we need Him today. I'm not saying that there hasn't been very needy times throughout history, because there is. There's always been. People have always needed the Lord. But we look at where we are today, and surely we recognize this nation needs the Lord. And the nation first is made up of individual people. And that means you and I need the Lord. I want to encourage us. I look and I know that time passes so rapidly. Recently, my brother, and he was talking with Brother Ron Zacharias up in Wisconsin, and Brother Ron had taken out a tape measure. And I understand that our life expectancy is somewhere around, 73, 74, 75, somewhere, is about the average life expectancy. And you take out a tape measure and you, somewhere about the corner of there to somewhere over in here is about 73 or so inches. And how old are you now? Some of you, I'm up here about 55. That means from there to here, I've already got that much of my life behind me. Where are you today? I imagine some of you is more than that. But I can tell you this much, that amount of time went by very quickly. And I'm at the stage of my life that I look back and with stark reality knowing that I don't have that many more years left. On the law of averages, I don't. And I began to think, what have I done for the Lord? And I'm challenged. And I have some regrets. I wish I'd have done more. And I want to encourage you, especially the young folks today, that you realize that the time is slipping. I know how it feels to be young and think that the time's ahead of you. But I want to tell you today, use your time while you're young for the Lord. I want to encourage you to invest your life in the Lord without reserve. Go ahead and just give Him your life. And now beyond the young folks, every one of us have our little box, alabaster box that the Lord has given us. Precious. Not just the box, but the contents that's in the box. It's very precious. I want to encourage us, whatever age, whatever stage we are in life, to be willing. Perhaps you have kept it safe and maybe even buried it in the ground, knowing it was precious, but I want to encourage you today to break that alabaster box intentionally and pour it out on the Lord. Amen. Give Him our lives. It's very important. You know, many times when I was young, first gave my heart to the Lord, I heard a lot of messages on consecration. Thank the Lord for those messages. I think it's time for us to hear some more. We need all of us to feel the need in our own soul that we consecrate ourselves to God's service. It wasn't that long ago when I was not feeling well at all and not sure just how much more time was left, but I want to tell you, I was sure that I wanted the Lord to have the rest of it.
I was sure at that point that I wanted the Lord. Seems like those moments get a hold of our attention. I'm glad the Lord loves us enough to let us have those moments. Whether the moment was intended that way at the beginning, I know this much, the Lord knows how to use those moments for the good of our souls and the good of others also. Well, we want to look into the book of Matthew here this morning. Over here in Matthew, the fourth chapter, you remember when Jesus, he went to be baptized of John. I want to think a little bit. Now, I want to encourage especially young folks, as you consecrate your heart and your life, all of us, when we consecrate our heart and our life to the Lord, the Lord will be interested in using that life. And I'm not going to tell you today that the Lord will not call you to preach, because I'm praying that He will. Is that all right? And it's okay for you to be afraid right now. But it's not okay for you to draw back from the Lord. I want to encourage you today to be willing to break your heart and your life open on the Lord. I want to encourage you. And the Lord may not call you to preach. There's a lot of people He hadn't called to preach. But everyone that follows Him is in His service in one way or another. He calls you that service. And whatever post that the Lord gives you to work in, be faithful in that post. Because you see, He gives the talent. And when we are faithful in the post that we are at, maybe it might be small, maybe just one talent. But if we're faithful in that, when we are faithful in that, the Lord gives more. And your responsibility, your sphere of responsibility, and many times the calling that the Lord has on your life will expand. I want to encourage you not to be afraid to follow the Lord in all these ways with all your heart. Now, I don't want to ask you, especially if you're young in the Lord, I don't want to ask you to jump up and start preaching tomorrow. Because I believe the Lord has a way of qualifying. He has a way of preparing you. Jesus was the most qualified preacher that could have ever been. He was the Word of God. But I want you to notice what He did. He was baptized of John because He wanted to be in obedience. In the sight of all, want to be in obedience to His Heavenly Father. And then after that, He was led into the wilderness to deal with strong temptation. I want to encourage you to understand and recognize at this juncture that many times the Lord is not going to call you to a place of great responsibility until He has proven you. There's a scripture that says, not a novice. And let me tell you what the Lord's going to do. Our part is to mean with all of our heart, I want to go through, I want to serve You, Lord. And our part is to give our heart wholly without reserve to the Lord. And then as we pass through life, you will have times of temptation. You will have times that your very experience with the Lord will be challenged. And now the Lord's going to see how you react. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted. Strong temptation of the devil. And He passed the test. And it said after this point, 17th verse of the 4th chapter of Matthew, says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, Jesus had proven not only to His Father, but also to the devil and all others who were looking on that He was faithful at His post. And I want to encourage you, this doesn't mean that you have no place to work with the Lord, because all in your proving ground, there's a good place to work for the Lord. Let me show you how this works a little bit. When I was a toddler in the Lord, when my legs were still wobbly, just learning how to walk. I was saved. Oh, I look back as a number of years ago now, but it doesn't seem that long ago. 1979. And I still had, in my youth, I had a lot of rough edges, folks, that we have. Toddler doesn't learn to walk in one day. And I tell you something, have you ever seen a toddler give up and quit trying to learn how to walk? How many of you seen do that? When they fall and bump their nose and get it bloody and they're crying, do they quit trying to learn how to walk? They don't do that, do they? And I want to encourage you today, as you're learning how to walk with the Lord, you're going to have some times that it's not comfortable and you're going to deal with some of your human failings. That doesn't mean you stop. That means you stand up and you look for something to hold on to. This is one of my experiences. I want to share it with you right now. Young toddler in the Lord. And it seemed like the temptations that I was going through at that time was so strong and so almost overwhelming. And I was so desperate to make it. I wanted to walk the way that leads to heaven's eternal shore. That was my heart's desire. And I wanted it so badly that in this moment, I was unwilling to give up. And I went to the Lord in desperate prayer. Now, when you begin to work for the Lord, I want to encourage you not to just strive to be able to say something, but have something to say. There's quite a difference in that. Have some inspiration from the Lord. Now, this is how we get that sometimes, and we'll give you this story. I was dealing with this strong temptations, the oppression of the devil. And as I came in my desperate way of seeking the Lord, and there's the place you need something to hold on to, folks. If you don't, we're liable to fall. So I came to the Lord in desperate prayer. And in that moment, you remember that verse over there in Isaiah where it says, "Thou worm, Jacob." Some people might say, "Well, I'm not a worm. Be careful." I want to tell you that morning, I knew I was a worm. And the Lord Himself correctly identified my weak position. And when He said to me, and I read that verse, when He said, "Thou worm, Jacob," I said, "Amen, Lord, that's me. I'm glad You know right where I am, and I need Your help." But He didn't stop calling me. When He said, "Thou worm, Jacob," that's not where He quit talking. He went on and said, "When thou passest through the water, through the flood, through the fire, I'll be with you." And He said, "I know your name." Amen. I want to tell you that moment has lasted me for the last 30 some years. Amen. And I'm telling it to you today because the Lord did something for me. I didn't just conjure that up. The Lord gave it to me. You know how I got that? I was doing battle. And the Lord gave me the victory. If you want to have a testimony, burning testimony next Wednesday night, I encourage you to get one. Exercise yourself in the Lord. If you want a burning testimony next Wednesday night, do some battle with yourself. Deny the flesh. Get some victories in your life. When temptation comes your way, get down on your knees and ask the Lord for victory. And next Wednesday night, when the Lord gives you something, whatever it might be, whatever level that temptation or that trial that you're going through, but the victory that you gain, come next Wednesday night and share it with the rest of the saints. You know what it's going to do for them? It's going to encourage the older saints that have been praying for you. They're going to say, "Oh, look at the baby. Look at him growing. He learned how to walk." And they're going to hold their hands out and say, "Come on, take another step." And they're going to go home thrilled. I'm going to tell you what it'll do for your pastor, because he's been praying for you. He's going to go home and say, "Did you hear that testimony?" Look at his wife and say, "Did you hear that testimony? Oh, doesn't that sound good? Aren't you glad that the Lord's working with us?" And you're going to bless his heart, and you're going to bless the rest of the saints. Also, you're going to have the blessing in your own soul. Such a richness. Don't you know when the Lord gave me those verses over there in Isaiah, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." I want to tell you, that verse has lasted throughout the years. And when he gave them to me that time, they were so precious to me. Oh, it filled my heart with grace and glory. And I got up with a renewed courage, knowing that I was in the hands of God. We need something to hold to, folks, when our legs are feeling a little wobbly. A child, a toddler, when they're learning how to walk, they reach over and grab a hold of something. And they might walk along the edge of it. They want something stable. And I want to tell you, the God of heaven is reaching down his hand yet today to help toddlers learn how to walk. Thank the Lord for that. And he won't leave you as he teaches you how to exercise in the ways of the Lord. Young folks, not just young folks, all of us. Perhaps, maybe you've lived a long time for the Lord, and maybe the Lord is even asking you now to do a little bit more. Perhaps the Lord is trying to inspire you to give what you have even right now. Maybe you've passed a number of years, but now, Lord, I want to do it. You feel the convicting power of the Lord calling you and saying, "I want to do some more." Did you know the Lord wants to encourage you? Have you ever noticed that when we bow down to pray, we need to have people learn how to pray more? Have you noticed that? You know the reason why most of the time that's happening is because a lot of times people aren't exercising themselves very well at home. Learn how to pray at home. And then learn how to pray in your own congregation. Start exercising right there. We need that. You're going to stumble and you're going to embarrass yourselves at times, but keep on. You see me today, and if I told you today that I was a timid person, you'd say, "Brother Ivan, I don't see that in you." But there was a day I was terribly timid. And it took all I could do to stand up and say something. But let me tell you the reason why I began saying something. It's because when the Lord saved me, there was such a dramatic change happening in my heart that I couldn't keep from trying to tell people whether I did a very good job or not. I had something in my heart. There was a change happening in me, and I wanted people to know. And I asked the Lord sometimes, "Lord, help me to know how to tell them." We come to the end of our ability to communicate sometimes. Have you ever tried to tell people how sweet the Lord is? And you try and you convey the best you know how, but you know when you got through, you still didn't get it there. You'll never be able to tell it all. You'll never be able to convey the richness, the depth of that richness. But ask the Lord to help you to convey the reality of how much you love the Lord. And thou catch that. You live it. Now, I want to go on a little bit more here. The 19th verse, actually the 18th verse, let's go ahead and read there. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren. One was Simon, called Peter, and he had a brother named Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Jesus saw them in this condition, going about life normally, and he called to them and he said this, 'Follow me.'" He said, "I'll make you fishers of men." But he said, "Follow me." That was his call. You know what that required? If they were going to follow the Lord, it required something of them. They couldn't keep on fishing. They had to lay down their nets. I don't know, perhaps these two young men, they're brothers, maybe they had grew up fishermen, and maybe this was their father's occupation. Maybe this is what they did, and maybe they had it in their mind that we're going to learn how to do fishing the best of anybody around. We're going to have the most fish to sell. Oh, I know how the best fishing holes are, and I know I got a good marketing plan. I'm talking now a little bit in today's terms. Well, I'm going to be the next Walmart. They had some dreams. Very possibly. Young men are like that, aren't they? It's all right. But Jesus came in the middle of their dreams. And he walked by and he said just some simple words. Follow me. It's not, he didn't say, I've got this grandiose plan for you. I've got special. He just said, follow me. And that's really all that any of us can do today. We got to start right there. Follow me, he said. Oh, but I want to tell you what, he's got plans. He's got a future for every one of you, and I want to encourage you today to follow after the Lord with all your heart and allow him to develop in you that sweet image of Christ in your life. Because there are other people that do need to see the very presence of the Lord, even yet today. Sometimes we might think, well, all this is past. Maybe the real, we think perhaps the real revivals of that's all past. I don't know, but I want to know. I want to tell you this much. I believe God still wants to save people today. And there's not going to be much revival if you and I don't catch fire. You know how a fire gets started? What happened if the match says, I don't know, there's nobody else burning around here. I guess I'll just stay here too. I'm a little depressed today. Nobody else seems to have, no, the fire of the Lord's not. So I guess I might be a match, but I think I'll just stay in the box today. But what happens if the match strikes? The match said, you know what? I don't care what other people, whether they have it or whether it seems like, I'm going to get a hold of God myself. And young folks, I want to encourage you right now on this line. There's nothing greater than seeing a group of young folks starting to catch fire. Oh, I remember back when I was young and first got saved, it seemed like there was a group of young folks that was, the Lord is working with, and there was some salvation happening. Lives were being changed. And it seemed like there was such a moving of the Lord at that time. Precious. And during that time of moving of the Lord, there were some people, I think they looked at what was going on, and they said, there's something happening here. And they came and wanted to be part of it. And some of them didn't go all the way. But some of them did. I want to tell you, the Lord wants some young people to catch fire. Amen. Today. Don't stay in the box. Come out and say, Lord, light the fire in me. Start exercising yourself in the Lord. At home. You start right there. You go home and you start learning how to read and how to pray and seek the Lord. Seek His face. Start looking for some inspiration. As the Lord gives you some of those victories in your life, and you have something then to share. It's not, you're not just learning how to say something, but you've got something to say. You come to Wednesday night prayer meeting with an inspiration in your soul. I want others to, I want to tell them how the Lord's helped me. And encourages one another. Oh, I remember one time Brother Bob Wilson when he was young in the Lord. I probably have told you this story before, but it still blesses me when I remember it. He was trying to go to school and trying to hold down a job to help pay for some of his schooling. And Wednesday night prayer meeting came along. Did you know it's easy sometimes to miss Wednesday night prayer meeting? It's real easy to notice a headache coming on. Did you notice that? I don't feel quite so good tonight, and it's a long way. And I just, you know, I've got a lot tomorrow, and I think maybe it'd be better if I just stayed home. You know, be careful, because maybe it'd be better if you went to church. Brother Bob had a headache. It wasn't one that he was supposing. It was a real one. I could tell when he walked in late that night. to services. When he walked in the door, I could tell that his head hurt just by the way he was squinting his eyes. And he came in there and he went ahead and sat down on that one of the front benches where we'd us young men started sitting. You know, when the Lord saved me, he changed me. Before I was saved, I was sitting back there. But when the Lord saved me, I moved on up. That's where Brother Bob was sitting there too. Came up there. Oh, it was one of those Wednesday night prayer meetings where the Lord started blessing. Testimony started happening. And Brother Bob ended up having one. He came there. He didn't feel like he had one when he came there. But right at the end, he said, I'll tell you, I came here tonight. He said, I had a terrible headache. I didn't feel like coming. But I'm so glad I did. You know what happens? When we get a hold of something for ourselves, it blesses one another. He said, my headache's almost gone. These are precious things, folks. Young folks, you have the ability to bless some of the older ones better than what you even know right now. But you get a hold of the Lord. I'll tell you another experience that still stands in my mind rich today. Again, young people have dreams and hopes and plans and things they want to turn out a certain way. Well, there was a young lady in our congregation back then. Now I'm forgetting her name. Sister Diane, she was Watson at that time. Sister Diane Doolittle now. She had some real desires. You know how we have ideas how we want things to go. And some of those things were, she really wanted, it was something she desired in her heart. Lord, if it could turn out that way, I'd be happy. And she read a scripture in the Bible that said, delight thyself in the law of the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, that blessed her and encouraged her. And she said, I'm going to just delight myself in the law of the Lord. And in her mind, she thought, I'm going to get what I want. And she found, though, that as she delighted herself in the Lord, some of her desires began to change. And she came one Wednesday night to prayer meeting to tell us this story of how the Lord had changed her desires. Amen. And she realized now that what she wanted before really wasn't right, and what she has now is so precious, she wouldn't trade it for what she wanted before. You know what? I learned something about that verse that night that has stayed with me. You know where I got it? From one vessel that had got it, they emptied some into my vessel that night. You heard that verse, emptying vessel and the vessel? Yes. Precious. Precious. We need each other, brother. Amen. We need each other. I need you to get your victories. That's right. I need you to fight your battles. I need you to come to Wednesday night prayer meetings with a testimony on your heart. We need you to do that. Young folks, we need you to do that. We need to hear you when you had been through a struggle, and you come and say, the Lord's given me victory. Oh, don't just come up with something to say, because sometimes that's damaging. But have something to say that the Lord has given you. Sometimes we have to leave my own dreams and stuff behind and just bank on the Lord. That's what these Peter and Andrew, his brother. Now, we know quite a bit about Peter, don't we? We know a lot less about his brother Andrew. But he was faithful. He was an apostle. That doesn't mean we all have to have our name and be known very widely, but we need to be known at the throne of God. I'm desperate for that. I want Him to acknowledge when I get before Him. Oh, I want Him to look down at me with a smile and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And sometimes when I look back at the little that I've done, I wonder, oh Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us not to squander the time that we have. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. If any time would fit that, I believe today does. Redeeming the time. Not allowing ourselves to become complacent. You know what happens to people who have maybe started off running well and then you just kind of settle down? Came by a house coming here. Two houses, actually, that I've noticed over the years on 33 as I drive. I drove by them this morning. I noticed years ago one house had been abandoned. It was just there, empty. And as the years have passed by, I noticed a hole come in the roof. And as the hole came in the roof, it seemed like it started sagging. I saw a wall starting to move out off the foundation. Today, when I went by, the walls were broken out. The thing had just tumbled in on itself. You know why that happened? At one day, somebody built it. Somebody probably raised children in that house. But through abandonment and through neglect and a little carelessness, it's gone now. There's another house that I passed by years ago. Noticed it throughout the years. Somebody started building. It was a nice, pretty good sized structure, not that far out of town. Somebody started building a pretty nice looking structure, and they got it studded up, and they got the sheeting on, and actually had a roof on, and no windows in it, and it sat there for a number of years until the house wrap that had first been put on there had all rotted away and it's fallen down. And I wondered, I said, somebody started one and just, something happened. And they quit. But I want to tell you, I stopped by there today. I drove by there today. And somebody has decided to finish that house. It does. It's bricked now. It looks good. And I thought, somebody. Did you know sometimes there are some lives in our lives. Maybe we did run well. Now I want to ask you today, where are you? Have you grown neglectful? Are you stagnant? Have you quit building? There's no place to stop building here. Have you quit building? This is what happens when you quit. The thing starts falling into decay, disrepair. You think, well, I'm saved. I got saved, 30 years ago. And I'm not kind of on coast mode now. Be very, very, very careful. Because more than likely, you're not really on coast mode. You're probably on decay mode. And today, the Lord would like for you to reevaluate, to start building again. Because what everybody else sees is a rotting structure. And what God sees is a structure that's starting to decay. And He says, wake up. Wake up, child. Wake up. And He comes by and He says, follow me. Will you lay down your nets? Will you turn it loose? Will you come and follow me? And I'll make you. Whatever. It says fishers of men. I'm not meaning to say that cavalierly in any way. But He will make you whatever He chooses to make you. Our part is to follow. To dedicate our hearts. To consecrate ourselves to His service. To be His child without reserve. I would like to also remind you this morning of, you remember the woman with the alabaster box of ointment? Very precious. She had, and I don't know where she got the money. I don't know where she got this, but it was very valuable. But perhaps all that was around there said it was very valuable anyway, and I believe it was. They said, this is precious. This is why didn't this get sold and given to the poor. It seems like it's a reasonable human reaction, but it was wrong. Let me tell you about your precious box that you own with all the contents that makes up you. It's very precious. Surely we all agree that your life, that your future, that who you are, your dreams, all that's in the box that the Lord has handed you, it's very precious this morning. We all agree to that. But maybe the devil or the world is also trying to tell you that it's so precious that what you really need to do is feed the poor. Sell yourself. And that feels good. But let me tell you what the best thing is for you to do. Break that box on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord will work through you. And the poor needs to be fed. He'll teach you how to feed them. Don't worry about the poor. Worry about your soul with that. Because the Lord will inspire you to His service from that point. You know the poor will be fed? Don't concentrate. He said the poor you'll always have with you. But me, I'm walking by now. And I call to you and say, follow me. And my job at that point is to quit trying to hold my little box and say, but I know how I want it used. I know how I want to direct my life. I know my dreams. And I believe this woman, I don't know how old she was or just what condition holy she was in, but she needed desperately the Lord. And she came and she brought all that she knew how to bring. And she broke it upon Him. I want to tell you what happens whenever you break your life and you give it. You relinquish control and you give it to the Lord. You notice in that scripture where it talks about the odor of the things filled the whole room. All of us, and I was going to say young people, but I include the young people and more. When we break our box on the Lord, when you young folks, when all of us, when we give our heart wholly to the Lord and we relinquish control of it, I want to tell you, it releases an odor, a spiritual smell. And others around you will be blessed by just being near. They will feel the very presence of the Lord. Many times in my life, when I allow the Lord to control it, on your job, many of these experiences happened while I was going about normal works of life. I've been in people's houses and walked in. One man, he had cancer, and he said, "I'm terminal. I don't have very long," and he looked that way. And he said, "I believe that you're a Christian." And we had prayer. He was seeking a place with the Lord. He knew he didn't have much longer. You know, the Lord wants your aroma. He wants the aroma of the Lord to go out. Because there are people that need that smell. There are people that need that hope. And as you go through life, if we break ourselves upon the Lord, it'll be a precious thing. Now, I've mentioned this and I'll mention it again. Your very hopes, young people, I want to especially point this at you today. Your very dreams, your hopes, your plans of tomorrow. And I've been there. Suppose you did very well in life. And sometimes the Lord does bless and give people control of quite a bit of funds or properties. But then when He does that, normally that person realizes that it's not theirs, it's the Lord's. They're of a different But sometimes when we're young, I think I want to gain. If I do this, if I get in this business, I can. And I recognize that the Lord gave a certain drive, a certain desires to think and plan. But I want to encourage you to subject all that to the will of God. Intentionally subject all that to the will of the Lord. Let me challenge you with this verse. Young folks, perhaps you did well. Perhaps you gave yourself and your attention and all your intelligence, and all saints have some of the most intelligent young folks in the world. But if you used all that to satisfy yourself, and suppose you did become the next Bill Gates, let me ask you at the end of your life, when it all the summing up of your time and all your efforts came down, and it's time to tally up their profit, let me ask you, what would it profit if you did gain the whole world and you lost the most precious thing you had, your soul? What would it profit? I submit to you this morning, you would find it utterly a deficit in your life. You'd find yourself at such a terrible sense of loss. All that you had thought you had gained physically would crumble in value to less than nothing. If you realize that I've squandered all my life and I have nothing, it would mean nothing. It would mean less than nothing. Now, Brother Paul was also called on the road to Damascus. You remember that? He had a conversion experience on the road to Damascus. And he was a man who had a certain amount of learning in the Scripture. He had what seemed to be quite a bit to offer. But the Lord had to rearrange his thinking. And on the road to Damascus, he had a tremendous experience that brought him very low. And he looked up and said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And when he rose from that experience, there was a great changing. Some of the very scriptures that he had used before to justify his actions turned completely around. And he began to preach a very different thing. Said he began to preach Christ. Things happened. Things changed. And I want to encourage you today. Perhaps you have, and you right now you might be convinced that all that you have learned up to now is correct. But when we have a personal experience, a personal encounter with the Lord, it fundamentally changes our perspective. And we rise from that experience very different than what I was before. Now you have something from the Lord. And now you take that and begin to grow in grace. You begin to follow after the ways of the Lord. You begin to learn how to walk with the Lord. You have a heart now. I say, "Lord, I want to learn to walk that path that leads to heaven. I want to follow you, Lord." And as you follow on to know the Lord, as He teaches you His ways, and you have your experiences, you have those moments where you have met strong temptation and gotten the victory, and you come up from there with such joy in your heart. "Oh, thank you, Lord." And then we share that with one another. And your perspective has been changed. And you have something from the Lord. No man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. Brother Paul, there was a young man that wanted to go with Brother Paul and Barnabas. And he had a lot of zeal. And they said, "Come on, let's go." And you remember part of the way through that missionary endeavor, he was called Brother Mark, John Mark. He for some reason, decided to go back. Didn't finish out the trip. Now, I want to tell you, when you start with the Lord, it means a lot to be faithful and go on. Because no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. When you, and I want to encourage you to, don't give up, don't quit. Keep on going. Because when you, if you decide to turn around and go, did you know it discourages those around you? It really does. I believe, Brother Paul, it wasn't so much that he was disappointed that Mark didn't finish out the journey. I think he was afraid of what effect it may have on others. He wanted others to see that the Lord's able to take you through. And so it disappointed Brother Paul to the point. He said, now, Brother Mark, you want to go on the next trip? And he said, no, I don't think so. Perhaps he was thinking, Brother John, Brother Mark, if it took you with us and you got discouraged on the way, it would discourage some others. I like to think maybe that was some of Brother Paul's reasoning here. But then Brother John Mark, he got a hold of something. He got discouraged there for a little bit. I don't know what, but he was felt the pressure of the trip and he went back home. But then he began to get a hold and went through some hard things as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He endured some opposition. And he went through. And then there came a time later on, Brother Paul saw the faithfulness and the steadfastness of Brother John Mark. And he said, would you send him? He's a good brother. He's a blessing to me. Would you have him come? And I want to encourage you, as you walk with the Lord, you're liable to have some times that you're going to feel the pressure. And there might be some times that the pressure is so great that you kind of draw back a little. But don't quit. Go ahead and break that box. Go ahead and pour yourself out on the Lord. Go ahead and give Him your hopes and your dreams. We need some preachers. We need some gospel workers. We need some prayer warriors. We need some faithful folks. We need a whole group of young folks that has got a hold of the Lord and caught fire. That can come to Wednesday night prayer meeting with a testimony on their heart. And as they begin to exercise the Lord in those testimonies, maybe in Sunday school, the Lord inspires them, gives them some things to share. Hey, you know, when we, our Sunday school, a lot of times teachers, I don't like to, when a teacher just says everything. I like to hear those in class say, yes, and they share what's on their heart too. It seems like it's a real blessing. Young folks have something to share. And then as the Lord inspires you, young people's meeting comes along this summer. Maybe during this meeting, some young people's meetings go on. And you come together, you have something to share at those young people's meetings. And I remember back when I was in that age, sometimes I'd get up and some of the things I said, I'd stutter around and not get it out very well. And I'd begin to cry and I sat down a lot of times more embarrassed, but I tried. And I want to encourage you to keep on. When young people's meeting comes around, have something to share. Look for something. Begin to exercise yourself in the Lord. And as He inspires and leads and gives you something, perhaps the Lord may someday call you to be a minister. I'm not ashamed to tell you that today because I'm praying that He will. I want to encourage you to give your heart to the Lord. Amen. Give your life to the Lord. One time, an older minister, I was young in the Lord, after a message had went forth, and something in that message really talked to my heart, and it really inspired me. And after the service, the message was over, I got up and shared what the Lord. It just was a real precious thought in that message. It really did something for me in my soul. And after that, the service was over, the old minister came to me, and he really didn't know me very well. He looked at me and he said, young man, he said, you be careful how you handle your life. He said, the Lord may want to make a prophet out of you. At the time, I thought it was, I kind of felt the pressure. I thought, no, the Lord doesn't want to make a prophet out of me. But he did. And so the old brother looked at me as a young man and said, young man, be careful how you handle your life. And I'll look at you young folks here today and I want to pass it on to you. You be careful how you handle your life. Be careful with the decisions you make. The Lord may want to make a prophet out of you. And again, I'm telling you, I'm praying that He does. Because we need some more inspired ministers. I'm looking for another generation to get hold. I'm looking for another younger generation to have their victories. I want to see some of this generation of young people get so on fire in their soul that the Lord gives them something to say. And they want to get a hold and they feel, and you don't have to do everything perfect the first time. You won't either. But I want to encourage you to follow on. Break your box on the Lord. Will you consecrate today to a service? Will you be willing to bring your box today? Not just the young folks, but all of us. Will we bring ourselves to the Lord today and break it on the Lord Jesus Christ and let the very odor of the Lord fill? Pray for me.